Hello there, welcome to another Thoughts for Food, where we may or may not talk about food, and in these trying times, we ask the hard questions. Joining me today is a very special guest, all the way from Danville, Perry the Platypus! Happy to see you here. I didn't think we could get you. I didn't know whether we'd... I went through the proper channels to get you here, but I'm happy you're here. Excellent. Now, the first question actually pertains to you. The first question is platypuses. Why? Now, don't take that the wrong way. It's a mystery on everybody's mind of what exactly are you? We know that you're a mammal, but you're a mammal that lays eggs. Is that right? Right. It's peculiar because there isn't another mammal, at least to my memory, that lays eggs. And tell me about these poisonous barbs that you have on your wrists. Why do you have them exactly? Okay. I suppose that's an answer. I mean, I'm not discounting you at all, because you're a platypus, I'm not. It's just that's interesting. But people still wonder why do you have them. I mean, it doesn't seem like they'd be very effective. What would they? Are they actually effective? Right. See, that's my thinking too. I didn't think they'd be that effective either. And yet you have them. I mean, I guess, you know, is it kind of like a self-defense kind of thing? Okay. That makes sense. You know what? That's fine. You know, that's perfectly fine with me. I see no problem with that. I'm sure it's something on everyone's mind. Do you spend most of your time on the land or in the sea? You're right, I don't mean actual sea, but like a pond or a river. Do you split your time between going on the land and going into like a pond or a river? And how's it different? Like how does it differentiate between the two? I see. Okay, That's interesting. So you're very much kind of like a frog, you'd say? I'm sorry. You're right. Not like a frog. But you split your time between water and dry land. That's perfectly okay with me. I don't know about anyone else. I can't speak for anyone else, but for me, that's perfectly okay. Well, why thank you. I appreciate that. Now, our next question moves on to more mystery. The question is, in all the photos and pictures that people have taken of UFOs, Bigfoot, Jersey Devil, etc., why are they always out of focus? Especially now with how good cameras are, especially in our smartphones, it makes you wonder, how is it still poor quality? I recently asked someone this, and they said that, you know, if the person who's taking the video or picture is running, then naturally it would be, you know, out of frame sometimes, it'd be out of focus, that would affect it. Or even if it's at night, which also plays into it. But what about pictures and videos that are during the day with someone with a steady hand? How is it still out of focus? Right. But just on my smartphone alone, I can get pretty good quality of pictures and video. And not to say that everyone has a smartphone, but it's just technological wise, we have such good equipment photography wise. And yet, just such poor quality of catching these mysterious beings and monsters. I'm sorry. Not monsters, just... Well, what would you call them? Creatures or beasts? I don't know if that's much better, but hey, I'll take it. So, okay, so these creatures and beasts, okay. But how is it that, if I may, if they were real, how is it we still can't get good pictures of them or good video of them? They're just such poor quality. Right, but it just, it baffles me. Because, you know, if they were real, you'd think we'd get some really high-quality pictures and photos of them. We'd probably be able to see much more clearly what they actually look like. Like, take Bigfoot. You know, we have the famous footage taken long ago. But any sort of, like, recent one, it's all, you know, it's shaky. It's out of focus. It's zooming in and out. It's during the daytime. It's not even at night. And yet, it's just... He seems to elude any sort of camera or any sort of source of photography. We just can't get a clear picture of him. Same with UFOs. You know, I get it if someone's shooting a video or taking a picture from, you know, on ground level and UFO is like very high up. And, you know, in order to see it, you have to zoom in. I get that. I would get that. But even with, like, great cameras, like, I'm not saying that everyone has a tremendous camera that they just randomly have, but you'd think that someone with such a great camera might be able to catch it as well? Is that fair to say? Right. You see? It's baffling how even then we still can't get clear photos. You okay? You okay over there? Okay, just making sure. Same. I mean, I have allergies happening as well. It's just that time of year. You're right. Back to the question. It's just, I don't have much else to say on it. It's just baffling. We still can't get any clear photos or videos of these ancient beasts or creatures or beings, even in a time of such high photography technological advancements. It's just, it's baffling. We may never know. Alrighty, moving on to our next segment, war. In the war within the fandoms, we have this question. Who would win in an all-out battle between the Amazonians of Themyscira or the Dora Milaje of Wakanda? You're right. It is tough. It is incredibly tough. Because both, I mean, I wouldn't even say necessarily armies, although you can call them both armies. Both armies have either enhanced strength or enhanced technological means to where they would be more advanced than just any sort of regular army. But even beyond that, it's an all-female army, which is tremendous. And, you know, they're led well, and they're very highly skilled, and they're both powerful, and it's just, they both have, like, in-battle knowledge. Right. It's a tough one, because they're both heroes. I can't think of anything in memory of where they were brought together and, like, there was a battle between them. I can't think of anything. It's possible someone has. I can't think of anything off my memory. You think so? You'd still you still give the upper hand to the Amazonians over the Wakandans.
Really?
Well, yeah, they are. Yeah, I mean, I guess technically the Amazonians are, they would be classified as gods. That's true. And they're skilled. But the Dormilaje, you know, at least with their use of vibranium, you know, they have the armor, they have the weaponry, and just both armies are highly intelligent, and it would be a tough one. It'd be a very tough one, because they're both strategic, and I don't know. I think it'd be, both would be hard-pressed to find some sort of weakness between them. No, I'm just saying, it would be an interesting battle, because you don't really see any kind of armies like that much. I mean, you don't really see an all-female army very much. That's hard pressed to find, like, anything like that besides the two. There are other examples, but just off the top of my head, those are the two main ones. And of course, the Amazonians are from DC, and the Dormilaje are from Marvel. So, two, like, kind of, I don't want to say like recluse, but like, you know, Wakanda hidden. Amazonians are, you know, on an island that is hard to find and hidden. So they're both in secret. Would they ever meet? That, I mean, it's possible that, like, someone has probably gone in, you know, creators of the comics, or just a fan has put them together in sort of like simulation, or just even in like a fanfic comic book. It's very possible, but it's just, I don't know. You know, I guess I don't know much about that. Will be that much about either. I'd have to, I'd have to research like their the ins and outs of them, and see if there's like, well, what's different between them and what's the same. But well, yes, you're right. But it's just, I don't know. Both armies of strong women put against each other. It's just, that's a tough one. I don't know who I'd go with. I know, you'd go with the Amazonians, but I don't know. I wouldn't discount the Dormilaje that quickly. It'd be a tough battle. I'd say that much. It'd be an incredibly tough battle. I don't know. I don't know what else to say on this one. What do you got? Maybe so. Maybe we'll see it somewhere in some sort of official thing. But that'd be a tough sell for the two. For the two production companies to come together and do something like that. That'd be tough. But that'd be really cool to see. I'd really like to see something like that. Although, I mean, they're both considered the good guys. So I don't know if there should be a clear winner. I don't know. Yeah, but they're both considered armies of heroes. I can't, again, I don't know that much about either, but you'd think that it'd be, yeah, I'd say it'd be tough to see which one would win over the other. Yeah, that's a tough one. Maybe you're right. Maybe we may never find out. Well, shall we move on to the next question? Okay. Let's see. This is going to be a tough one as well. We're talking Batman or Batmen. We're talking who is the best Batman. And this doesn't include everyone, but this includes a lot of them. So we've got Adam West, we've got Michael Keaton, we've got Val Kilmer, we've got George Clooney, Kevin Conroy, Christian Bale, and Ben Affleck. And I guess, an afterthought, you know, I'd put in Robert Pattinson, but we haven't really seen what he can do with it. We've seen photos of him on set in the suit, and we've seen the short kind of snippet, but we can't really say much. But I mean, look wise, I think he pulls it off. So, of this list, this doesn't have everyone on it, but of this list, who you got? That's fair. That's the thing. Michael Keaton is there isn't a bad answer to this. I don't think there's a bad answer to it, because they all brought something to it that I think worked well. I mean, even George Clooney as Batman, which is from Batman and Robin, which is rough. It's a fun movie. It's cheesy. It is absolutely cheesy. But I thought he pulled it off. I thought he pulled off the character very well. He had the look, and he has that gravitas to his voice for it. I mean, they didn't give his Batman anything much that wasn't incredibly cheeseball. But I still think that he pulled it off. So that's why I included him, because it's like, none of these were bad. I know people were like, oh, no, rubbish about this, or this person was rubbish, or, you know, just stuff like that. But, like, I like to think that if you're a fan of it, then why can't you love the imperfections of one? I mean, take Adam West. I mean, he's a classic one, you know, from the TV show with Burt Ward. That is a classic Batman. But even that is incredibly cheesy, because, you know, he's known as the Dark Knight. There's nothing dark about the Batman show whatsoever. It didn't really have any dark moments, though. So you can't say, well, it had, you know, like a few things that, you know, dark stuff like that, but you can't really, can you? Well, yeah, and, you know, he and Robin would be put in peril, and, you know, it'd be like, will they make it out? Is this the last of the dynamic duo? That you know, there would be, quotes, suspense, but that you always knew that they would make it out. And stakes-wise, there's nothing really high stakes about that. And I know there was at least a couple iterations before Adam West, but which I haven't seen. I've only seen the pictures of the actors in the suit, so I can't say much to them. But I know that, you know, Adam West's Batman was a very popular one at the time. It still is, you know, he's still a popular one. He's still considered a favorite. But, yeah, like yourself, a lot of people say Michael Keaton is the better one. Which is fair, because, I mean, at the time, Michael Keaton was a tough sell. I mean, I know that a lot of people were in an uproar going, no, absolutely not. He's a comedian. He can't be Batman. And, you know, that's fair. Because, you know, at the time, it wasn't, like, a dark Batman. And so with Tim Burton's Batman, it breathed new life into the character. It brought something different, and I thought Michael Keaton did a great job in it. I don't really have any quarrels with anything in either Batman or Batman Returns. Batman Returns took the darkness like a step further. That is incredibly dark for what it is. Even though it still has a certain amount of cheesiness to it, including Batman with the Joker, it still has stakes. It has some gravitas to it. So I'd say Michael Keaton was a strong Batman as well. Yes, it's very true. Yes, but even though he was replaced, I still thought he was great, and following it up to that one with Batman Forever was Val Kilmer, and I thought he was also a strong Batman, a strong Bruce Wayne. I had no quarrels with it. Granted, that was the first of the Schumacher cheesiness that came to the Batman realm, but I didn't think it was necessarily him. And I know that part of the problem with the Kilmer and Clooney Batman is the suit, which is cheesy, but it is still a cool suit, but yeah, it's kind of eccentric and kind of out there. So, no, you're right. It's a tough one to defend, yes. But I still thought Val Kilmer and George Clooney, I still thought they both pulled it off. I have no quarrels with them. I just kind of, if any quarrel, it would just be what they actually gave that iteration of Batman to do, per se. Especially George Clooney, just dialogue-wise, yeah, just almost nothing but just one-liners. And then that's not even mentioning Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze. He was basically nothing but one-liners. So it's, yeah. But again, I don't necessarily fault them for it. I just fault like the plan that went into their movies, and you know, not necessarily following them, but the voice of Batman, Kevin Conroy, he is another favorite. He is considered the voice of Batman, because he's voiced Batman in several different shows, different games. It's just, when you think Batman, like when you hear him, like, he's the voice that you think of. And that is incredibly fair. He brings the edginess, the gravitas to it. But he also brings like a humanity to it. Even though you don't ever see his face, you could hear it. You can feel the emotion. Just golly, it's right. It's just those Arkham games are great. They're tremendous. But like, big part of what makes them great, it's just, you can, just, that voice is tremendous. You just, like, just hearing it, like, you can feel the emotion, you can feel the weight behind it. It's incredible. You're right. Just speaking of voices, we can't leave out Christian Bale's gravelly kind of voice. It's just, if anything, I thought it brought something different to the character. I mean, you know, in other iterations, you know, that he would like deepen his voice, but like, this was a different one. But like,
his voice aside, I still thought he made a great Batman. I don't know about you, but what did you think? Really? I really liked it. I really liked the Nolan Batman movies. And part of it was Christian Bale's Batman. I thought he played a great Batman and a great Bruce Wayne. I've been saying this a lot, but like I have no quarrels with what they did with those movies. I mean, if anything, like just Batman side, I have nothing really negative about that character itself. I mean, Dark Knight Rises is questionable because it doesn't actually have a whole lot of Batman. It's a lot of exposition about Batman, but doesn't have a lot of, like, Batman himself. But even then, you know, I still think those points of it, I still think are great. I can't talk that down. And, when he was cast, like, I don't recall there being an uproar about it. Not that I can think of. I mean, I know his predecessor, Ben Affleck. I don't think predecessor is the correct word, but yeah. Anyways, the one that came after him, Ben Affleck, you know, there was an uproar over his casting because people didn't think that he would make a good one, but I thought he was great. He played a different kind of Batman. He played like the kind of like the old, like the older kind of tired of being Batman, you know, the kind of the sauntering Batman. I thought he was great. I mean, say what you will about Batman versus Superman. I mean, yes, but any sort of like negative about that movie, I can't point at all at Batflack. I can't say anything about it, about like negative about him. If anything, it's just like, again, kind of going back to some of the other Batman, just kind of, he wasn't given much as far as the script wise, but can't fault him for that. I thought he had the look, and physically wise, you know, he carried himself like Batman very well. So I had no quarrels with Batfly either. So I didn't really have any quarrels with like any of them on the list. So it, to say which is the better one, I think that's just all up to opinion. I mean, I personally, like, as a fan of the character, like, I think they're all great. I mean, I think, you know, like, each one, they is something different, and I like what each one has done. So I can't necessarily, like, say which is my favorite, because I know it fluctuates, depending on the light, depends on, you know, which Batman is my current favorite. It's just, it's hard. It's really, really hard. I know, you'd still go Keaton, yes. Which isn't a bad choice at all, whatsoever. None of these are, like, bad choices, in my opinion. So, it's kind of out there. It's kind of out there as which is the better one. It's tough. I mean, my favorite Batman of all is, you know, Batman Beyond, but we haven't necessarily had a live action, so whichever is my favorite might change should we ever get a live action version of Batman Beyond. If anything, that suit, the sleek black with red wings, I think it's incredibly cool. So, but that's just me. So I can't necessarily say which is the better Batman. They each had something, like, great about them. Now, you know, others were more successful than some of the others, but it's, It's a tough one. It's all just a matter of taste. And kind of, I guess, the mood on which you watch these movies. It's a tough one. Okay, well, yes. Okay, but who would be your second favorite of them? So between Conroy and Bale. That's, again, that's fair. That's very fair. I see nothing wrong with them. This is like what these are the tough questions. This and the battle between the Amazonians and Dora Milaje, they're both hard questions, and I'm not really the one to answer them. I just kind of like you throw them out there and see what others think. I don't know how deep you are with the comic books. You see, I'm a fan too. I mean, I've seen mostly the movies. I haven't read that many comics. I'm definitely not an expert on really any of them. I just know what I've seen or just happen to read in any sort of article, which may or may not be true, so. Yeah, but, it is what it is. It's hard. It's hard to, like, be knowledgeable on all of that, especially now. There's so much source material. There's so much of it. You'd be hard-pressed to know all of it unless you have been following it from its origins. No, you're right. You're right. We're not experts, clearly, but it's just, these are just our opinions of them. And, you know, that's my opinion on that. I can't say which is the best Batman. That's a tough one. Bit too tough. Well, thank you, Perry, for coming in. I really appreciate it. Of course, anytime. I'd love to have you back. Well, that has been another episode of Thoughts for Food. Tune in for a sneak peek to a special Star Wars episode that will be coming up in a couple weeks. The question is, how is it that the Empire refers to the rebels as rebel scum when on most of the planets we haven't really seen any sort of scum to be found? There's plenty of scum on Dagobah, if you remember. Yes, but that's one planet. How is it that the entire Empire has coined them as rebel scum? Where did that word even come from in y'all's context? That's an easy one. This is a dumb question.